Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. Nor do we tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on everything worth focusing on. And of course, this week it's global warming, obviously. What with the snowstorm in Buffalo, which is such a strange thing. What? A snowstorm in Buffalo? It must be global warming. In fact, let me go right to the World Socialists website. That's right, the World Socialists website reports that a massive snowfall is hitting Buffalo, New York, and other parts of the Great Lakes region. As global warming continues, extreme weather events such as hurricanes, droughts, and insert here latest weather event. Hurricanes, droughts, and lake effect snowstorms will become more frequent, intense, and deadly. With no serious response from the capitalist ruling elite. The capitalist ruling elite? Really? I think they have it exactly backwards. Anyway, that's the World Socialists website, which is allowed to operate in America, which should be a crime. But it's not, because we are a generation confused. Detached from reality and godliness, we are a civilization circling the drain. We've got four students out at the University of Idaho slaughtered, butchered in their bed. Still not a clue. Just still not a clue. What else is going on? Oregon's cartoon governor, Kate Brown, the one with the hoop that had the homemade mask. Remember her mask with the flowers and the snow globe in it? Her and Munster star John Kerry have both, well, they caught a cold last week and then felt an obligation to announce it on social media to the world. You know, just to keep up publicity for their favorite virus. Got to keep the buzz going out there. You know, we've got a lot of pharma to sell, for crying out loud. Anyway, let's do this first. Let's start with news that really matters. As terrifying as a snowstorm in Buffalo is, let's go to the Religion of Peace file, where Rhoda is a Christian nurse from northern Nigeria. She's been detained on blasphemy charges. This is according to Christian Solidarity International. Blasphemy charges, you may ask. What are those? Well, she was arrested after sharing a video of a Muslim man speaking against the stoning to death of a Christian woman named Deborah. Deborah was a 25-year-old Christian college student, and she was stoned to death by Muslims after she was accused of blasphemy. Blasphemy against Islam in Nigeria and other Islamic nations is called by FaithWire, where I got this story, it's called a vague weapon, often used against Nigerian Christians or Muslims who won't endorse radical ideology. I would add that it's also used by a business and political and romantic rivals, by a criminal gang called the Islamic Church, so that they can kill you and take your stuff if they don't like you. That's what it's used for. Islam is a criminal gang disguised as a religion. And a charge of blasphemy is their convenient weapon. So Rhoda, the latest victim, is currently trapped right now in a legal quagmire in Nigeria, where she's experiencing what reporters call an endless string of failed court hearings with no one willing to take responsibility for her case and her continued imprisonment. You have a quote from a fellow at Christian Solidarity International. He says, no one really wants to find her innocent because that's dangerous. It's dangerous to find a Christian innocent of the crime of insulting Islam because riots could unfold. So we've got a Christian woman who can't get out of a criminal gang's so-called legal system because everyone's afraid of the foot soldiers of the criminal gang, which ends up being everyone in society when crime becomes a religion. Anyway, it's terrifying. Nigeria, truly a hellhole. Truly a third world hellhole where the criminals are allowed to rule. Here in America, we're not that far behind. In fact, we'll touch base with Sam Bankman-Fried, which from what I understand, people think I was pronouncing it incorrectly, but I beg to differ. I think I've got it just right. Let's see. The Daily Mail reports that disgraced tech bro Sam Bankman-Fried is blaming his drugged-up ex-girlfriend for the collapse, the $32 billion collapse of FTX, the fake transactions exchange, I think is what that stood for. Anyway, he admitted in text messages that that he was lying about being moral. Well, he didn't have to confess to that. I think we pretty much figured that out when he stole the $300 million. He admitted it in a text message. That's it. He didn't confess it in public because, well, he's going to go on trial and he's going to claim he's innocent. Oddly enough. But he called ethics, quote, a dumb game we woke Westerners play. That's what he said basically about telling the truth. And so Sam Bankman-Fried is the poster child, in my mind, of the millennial work ethic. The millennial work ethic, which I've witnessed in my own professional life, it's an ethic where serving one another has been totally supplanted by merely making money. That's it. Living has been utterly supplanted by getting high, seeking pleasure, and finding entertainment. And finally, the millennial work ethic, where God has been supplanted utterly by self. Utterly by self. And Sam Bankman-Fried, when you look up the millennial work ethic in the encyclopedia 1,000 years from now, there will be a picture of Samuel Bankman-Fried. That'll be right. It'll be toward the end of the beginning of the story of the collapse of Western civilization. You know what was surprising about this story, to me anyway, was that apparently Sammy Bankman-Fried bought off Congress for a mere $300,000. That's all he donated to the people who were supposed to be keeping an eye on him. $300,000. I mean, in Washington, it's so bad now that it's not just that they're prostitutes, it's they're like cheap hookers. $300,000? He was able to spread that around. And anyway, it's really bizarro. But that's the world we're in. So we've got in Colorado, we have a heathen who killed a bunch of other heathens while they were defiling one another at a gay bar. You've probably heard the story. One heathen walks into a gay bar with a rifle and starts shooting other heathens while they're in the act of defiling one another. And of course, that's what heathens do. They kill each other. Now, usually it's a much slower process, and there's not so much cleaning up necessary. I mean, not right afterwards, but the frequency and the intensity of the killing is increasing as the heathen is allowed to be ascendant. That's right. It's not global warming you need to be worried about. Forget about the frequency and intensity of lake effect snowstorms in Buffalo. What about the mass murders and the murder suicides? That's what you should be worried about. So the killer in the Colorado gay bar massacre, he should have been put to death last year for being caught with a bomb. He was caught with a bomb where he's threatening to blow up the neighborhood with a bomb. And somehow he's not even in jail a year later. But a society that allows men to defile themselves and each other in public without shame and allows gay bars to invite children to all ages drag shows, which, by the way, the gay bar in Colorado on their social media had an invitation for an all ages drag show. And a society that allows all that to happen naturally loses the capacity to punish even capital criminals properly. And eventually that gets more people killed. And we're all supposed to convulse in a moment of a gay unity here. Anyway, it's disgusting and vile and filthy what was going on there. People promoting an all-ages drag show should be arrested and put on trial.
All ages?
All ages.
How about just drag
show? Yeah, a drag show, first of all. But to actively invite children into an environment like that is a crime. Or it should be a crime. I think it was a crime for my whole life. But now, it's insane. Now, they don't deserve to be massacred without a trial. That's unfortunate. But it shouldn't surprise anyone that civilization is collapsing into one giant murder-suicide event. It's horrible. All right, so let's go from the gay bar massacre, oddly enough, to right to the end of the world file, where The Hill is reporting on the male fertility crash. The world's experiencing a quiet yet accelerating collapse in male fertility. That's right, another study says sperm counts have fallen more than 50% in the last 50 years or so. The decline appears to be accelerating. Since 2000, average sperm count in the men whose sperm they're counting has been dropping about 2.5% a year. Reasons for the decline are unclear. So listen to how the who is this, The Hill? This is The Hill reporting from The Guardian, a bunch of left-wing fanatics, basically. Hysterics, politically correct hacks, all of them. Here's how they report it. Reasons for the decline are unclear. One major factor could be chemicals found in everyday items like plastic. Okay. So when you say the reasons are unclear and that it could be, you could easily say it may not be. But you don't say that because you're politically correct hysterics and hacks. You're useful idiots for the left-wing sex pervert death cult that seized the country in 2020. It seized most of Europe in the 1990s. So anyway, it's plastic. That's it. Because we package our food in plastic. And because we use plastic in everything, of course it's got to be the plastic. And then so the article closes. The world's population recently hit 8 billion. It hit 8 billion last week. But they say birth rates are in broad decline, and that is true, and we should be concerned about it. But the only reason the world has 8 billion people alive is because of plastic. For crying out loud. Anyway, and I just want to state for the record that the medical and research establishment, at least in my mind, has lost some credibility over the past couple of years, okay? Having fallen in lockstep with the hysterics and the communists and the perverts and all of that. So when you cite a study, don't expect me to immediately buy in. And so what do I think about the fertility rate drop? First of all, I think they're only measuring sperm in the civilized Western world. I shouldn't even say civilized. The sedentary Western world. A sedentary workplace where a man sits at a desk all day increases the testicular temperature, and desk jobs are probably what are primarily inhibiting sperm production. I'll bet if you go out and you measure the sperm in Laos where they're out in the rice paddy all day, I'll bet their sperm counts are fine. Another thing, increased pharmaceutical dependency. Everyone in the Western world is on drugs. Legal, illegal, recreational, pharmaceutical, you name it. We're all drugged up. But the climate hysterics in the Temple of Gaia, they're allowed to just publish that it's probably plastic. It's got to be plastic. It's got to be plastic. We're living too well. Surely we're all going to die. I am your host, Doug McBurney. As birth rates and fertility crash, here the weekly worldview rises. That's right, like a crashing wave abreast, athwart civilizational collapse. Trying to hold it all together here, and for that we go up into the mountains of Colorado, where Democrat Adam Fritsch conceded the race to Republican Lauren Boebert. That's right, the chick with the guns has defeated the slope-shouldered, lisping Democrat. I've never seen the guy, never heard him. Have no idea who he is. I didn't even know who was running against her. I just assumed that they would win. So this is kind of shocking. The one person who's hated more than Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. is Lauren Boebert. And who's the other one? Marjorie Taylor Greene. But the Democrat, Adam Fritsch, has conceded. Now, Boebert was only ahead by about 500 votes in an election where over 300,000 votes were cast. So why would the Democrat, only being behind by 500 or so votes, why would he concede? It's something smells strange, that's all. So I guess this election up there in the rural hinterland of Colorado, I guess it does show the Democrat machine. It shows them that they've got a weak link here, because it's a lot harder to steal rural elections where the one being robbed is enormously popular, because Lauren Boebert's enormously popular. And so for the Democrats to have been able to manufacture enough votes to make this close, I mean, it shows that they're doing their job. And they're working hard, but it's much more difficult up there. It's a lot harder to lie and cheat and steal. And then I assume something really bad must have been about to come out about this guy, Adam Fritsch, for him to concede and for the Democrats to stop producing votes for him. I mean, why does that happen? It's just kind of strange, but maybe it was about to come out that he was like unvaccinated or heterosexual or something like that. Something that would just destroy his credibility with his Democrat base. So although I believe, according to Colorado law, there has to be a recount by law. It doesn't matter if he conceded. And so maybe the Democrat machine will continue to produce some more votes. And Lauren Boebert will have to, well, I guess we'll have to see on that one. But that was the biggest shocker from the election, for me anyways. From the high mountains of Colorado, we come back down to earth. The Back to Reality file. The Daily Caller reports that the state of California is going to have to report a $25 billion budget deficit. That's right. I know. Isn't it strange? California's been reporting enormous, vast budget surpluses for the past since the lockdowns. But now they can't lie anymore. They have to tell the truth. And they're going to, and it turns out that they're broke. And one of the main reasons is that the people with the money and the businesses that make all the money for the state of California are fleeing the state in record numbers. People are leaving so fast, it's like a giant bucket with a giant hole in it. Uh-huh. Yes, let's see. I'm reading from the Daily Caller report. California had a fake budget surplus of $52 billion in 2022. That was according to last year's fake phony report. I'm the one who said fake, by the way. The Daily Caller actually reported that as if the surplus was real. So that was, by the way, the budget surpluses in California were money being given to California, having been stolen from other states during the COVID hysteria. That's right. When you steal money from the grandchildren and great-grand and great-great-grandchildren of 49 other states, you can prop up California for a while. But did you think the politicians in California couldn't steal all that money in less than 2 years? Ha! It's gone. They stole it all. That's right. They greased and stole and robbed and flew it off in bundles and skids to Bahamas. And don't ever underestimate the ability of the criminal gang running the state of California to steal money. Anyway, according to the Daily Caller, Gavin Newsom did not immediately respond to a request for comments. Why? Because he doesn't have to. That's right. He's secure behind the walls of his emperor's compound there in. Or so he thinks. The last shoe has not fallen on the story of Gavin Newsom or Paul, but the Hammer Pelosi or any of them. So we'll just wait and see. We're going to be patient. And we have our eye on them, having pointed out that we know they're a criminal gang. Okay, so from California, we're going to go down to Texas. Frisco, Texas, where we bring you reason number 2002 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A parent in the Frisco Independent School District at their board meeting read from a book that is in the school. It's called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And it's a dirty pornographic book that's available for the children in the Frisco Independent School District. She got up at the board meeting. She began reading a passage from the book. The passage describes, well, I'm not going to say that on the air. I can't say that. Anyway, so after the parent finished reading from the dirty book, she asked the board why the book is still available for children, and then her microphone was cut. One board member chastised the parent, saying, quote, "There is a child in the boardroom, so I'd like you to stop reading that." And this caused the audience to yell in outrage. The audience was outraged at the sheer, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a word for this. The irony is what it is. Don't you get the irony that you're mad at her for reading a book that you're letting her kids look at and my kids look at, and the parents all got outraged? And so I would just ask the parents, forget about the book. What's your kid still doing in the school? Why is your kid still there? Anyway, I mean, we should expect the perverts running the government schools to have dirty books, because perverts look at dirty books. They want your kids to look at dirty books. So don't be shocked at that, Mom. Get your kid out. That's reason number 2002. You may not recognize the irony of your kid going to the school with the dirty books. All right. From there, that was Texas, right? Which we all hold out hope that there's still some hope in Texas, right? In Florida, I think, and I don't know, Alabama, Tennessee. There's nowhere to run, folks. You might as well find some place you like and take your stand there, for crying out loud. Because it's all coming down, baby. So they're going to need some of us sane people in every state. Even the crazy insane states. We can't all huddle together in the mosquito-ridden states. We have to save some of the nice places, too. I think. I mean, I'm not going back to Buffalo for crying out loud. Of course, New York. Well, all right. Anyway, so from Texas, where are we going to go next? This is Berkeley. Berkeley County School Board, South Carolina. For reason number 2003, to get or keep your children out of the government schools or the false sense of security file. After being elected, this is from the Daily Caller again. After being elected to the school board on November 8th, six members endorsed by the parental rights group Moms for Liberty immediately banned critical race theory. And they set up a committee and a process to eliminate dirty books. And they did all that at their very first meeting. All right. Yes. And so Moms for Liberty is a group that we've reported on. Probably have the best of intentions, but they're falling seriously short because they think they can somehow reform a government school that is hell-bent on inoculating your children against the gospel, against what's right and wrong, and into turning them into little communist homosexual perverts. You can't reform that, Mom. No, you can't send your kid in there. You have to get your kids out of there. But Moms for Liberty, they endorsed, they endorsed how many hundreds? 800? They endorsed several hundred, whatever. What do you call somebody who's running for the school board? I don't know what that is. A nanny? I don't know. They endorsed 800 nannies around the country, and about half of them won. So this should be a lesson. This should, Moms for Liberty, according, told the Daily Caller that they, quote, want to make sure schools are safe, make sure that teachers get the support and all their needs are met. Okay. So the teachers are criminally insane sex perverts in many cases. And the administrators, in almost all cases, are criminally insane sex perverts running the government schools. And the Moms for Liberty want to make sure they get all the support they need. Make sure their needs are met. Well, what if they have a need for dirty books? I don't think their needs should be met. In fact, I think you should get or keep your children out of the government schools. And now, for a little math lesson, for everyone who's matriculated in the government schools in the last 30 years, I know that mathematics is a challenge. But keep this in mind if you think there's a political solution here, okay, Mom? Less than half of the conservative nannies that were endorsed by Moms for Liberty won. And this is at a time when the mask of the perverts and the creeps and the criminals running the schools was totally lifted during COVID. For all to see, we all found out exactly what was going on in the government schools. Everyone was shocked and horrified. And only half of the conservatives won. Less than half, actually, 49%. So I'm afraid that the plurality of those no longer fazed by public wickedness, that plurality that's always existed, I'm afraid that that perhaps has become a majority. People unafraid to be openly wicked. People with no shame. There's always been some of that, of course, in every society. There was always that part of town where that stuff went on. But I'm afraid that that has become, that's the majority now. The majority no longer understand why it's a crime to invite children to a bar, number one, and then to invite them to a drag show at a bar. They don't even understand why it's a crime to have a drag show anymore. Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. And now for the, as predicted last week, Mitch McConnell is beginning to rub our noses in it. That's right. After a disastrous midterm performance, Mitch McConnell was elected to leadership again anyways. That's right. Why? Because the system's rigged. That's why. And then now to rub our nose in it. And by the way, hair gel and Botox there. The one from California, the pretty boy, he'll get elected too. I think he's already won some preliminary. He'll be rubbing your nose in it before too long. Oh, he'll do a couple things to throw you a bone like they always do. But believe me, he's tied in tight with the criminally insane sex pervert maniac gang that seized the country. He's already got jobs lined up after he gets out of Congress with them. So he's not on our side, okay? That's all. And Mitch McConnell, ha! We knew that. But now he's more out in the open about it. He's got a message for Joe Biden. I've got a message for Biden. Do you have a message for Mr. Biden? Mr. McConnell.
Well, my message for President Biden is let's find some things that we can agree on. Well, like we did, you know, on infrastructure, and CHIPS, and school safety, mental health.
But by the way, Mr. McConnell, were you aware that it's Joe Biden's 80th birthday today? Do you have anything to say for President Biden on his 80th birthday?
Well, that's what I say. Well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. That's right, a birthday wish from Mitch McConnell to Joe Biden in the spirit of Marilyn Monroe to John F. Kennedy. Indeed. So, let's see. McConnell's agenda is not our agenda, folks. He's happy to work with Mr. Biden like he did on infrastructure, which was like a communist takeover of half the economy, for crying out loud. And so this poor guy who writes this article, unfortunately, I didn't get the website for some reason. I usually try to get the website, but I didn't here. I will link to it, but he says, hey, Mitch, how about pushing our agenda? I'm thinking, you poor sap. I mean, how could you even think that? Anyway, he said, the author who's reporting this to us, thankfully, he says, make it clear that things aren't, whatever. I can't even go on with it. This poor guy. He actually thought Mitch McConnell was a conservative or okay. I mean, that's just sad. I mean, the fact that you can have a website still and be considered a thoughtful conservative. If you think Mitch McConnell is okay, well. Forget about the crash in fertility. What about the crash in intelligence on the right? It's just sad. Okay. So not to get you down any further, but we've got to move on now from Mitch McConnell and his birthday wishes to the end of the world file, where the Daily Wire reports that the Pediatrics Journal has published new findings, information from Illinois hospitals, Northwestern University, the Laurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. Analysts looked at visits to the emergency department for suicidal ideation. Suicidal ideation. Okay. From 2016 to 2021 for young people. When they say young people, they mean people between the ages of 5 and 19 years old. So suicidal thoughts, visits to the emergency room for suicidal thoughts are up about 60%. And then from 2016-17 to 19 through 21, 60% increase in young people thinking about killing themselves. Anyway, it's just shocking. And we have a quote from one of the authors of the study, of course, keeping in mind that clinical studies ain't what they used to be. And experts reporting data aren't nearly as compelling as they used to be. But this is a report on actual just raw data. Just raw data of how many kids came to the hospital saying, I'm thinking about killing myself. And it's a lot. And senior author of the Data review, Joe Fineglass said regarding the data, he said, this is like smoke, and there's definitely a fire, but we don't yet know and are not yet addressing what is causing the fire. Okay, well, Joe, I mean, the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem, and he admits that there's a problem. He says, this is smoke, and there's a fire somewhere, but we don't know what it is. Joe goes on. He says, we really need to develop more of a strategy to help support. We need to make sure more children will have safe places to grow and thrive. That's right, and develop more of a strategy to help support all kinds in different ways and really focus on some of those traumas and social influences of health. Can you make heads or tails of what any of that means? I'll read it again. We really need to develop more of a strategy to help support all kinds in different ways and really focus on some of those traumas and social influences of health, unquote. That's a doctor. Sounds like Kamala Harris, for crying out loud. Talk about a word salad. I don't even know what he said. We need to make sure more children will have safe places to grow and thrive. Just mix some words together and put them on a page. It's maddening. So here's the thing, doctor. Well, I don't know that he's a doctor. Let's just call him Joe. He's the average Joe. Man, he's the below average Joe. We have a strategy to help support all kinds in different ways and really focus and make sure children have safe places to grow and thrive. We have that. It's called a family. Yeah, and it's based on marriage. Marriage. Marriage between a man and a woman for life. You know, the institution that the healthcare and the psychiatric industries have been attacking openly for a generation. Along with the government and the judicial industries. They've all been attacking. The one thing that can solve your problem here, Joe, is under attack every day. It's called a family. It's called a husband and a wife raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what prevents kids from thinking about killing themselves. Well, that's the one thing that could help the most, Joe. I don't really want Joe to develop a strategy to help support. That's, no. So if it ain't broke, Joe, don't fix it. And if it ain't, and can stop breaking it, Joe. And Jane and all the rest of you in the psychiatric and pharmaceutical and healthcare and judicial and government industries. All of you, if you could just stop attacking and destroying us, our kids might be okay. But the kids aren't okay. And you're grasping at the wind trying to figure out how to make them okay. We all knew how to make them okay. It's you people that are confused. You drugged out hippie faggots and perverts. Anyway, I'm getting upset. All right. The people who think it's okay to invite kids to your sick, demented, sick, you know, that stuff you would be in a bar in the dark side of town hidden from the police. And now they're inviting kids in broad daylight, for crying out loud. Broad daylight and the middle of the night. Oh, all right. Okay, so let's do something that's a little more entertaining. And well, I don't want to say entertaining. How about less incendiary? Less incendiary. From the widespread panic file, we return to Los Angeles, where Los Angeles County officials have returned to the, quote, strongly recommending position when it comes to people wearing masks. That's right. And the recommendation, they're strongly recommending wearing a mask, not just when you're robbing a liquor store, or participate. I think they're also now recommending that you wear a mask when you're participating in a carjacking or a drive-by shooting.
You add that.
Yeah, I made that part up. Yeah, that's the comedy angle is what that I'm going for is, you never know, right, these days. I mean, if drag queen story hour is legal for the kids at a bar, maybe the government will help people figure out how to carjack more efficiently, for crying out loud. It's that crazy. No, what's actually happening out in Los Angeles is the 7-day average for daily cold and flu infections rose to 100 people in 100,000. And so, yeah, that's right. So COVID is now just a cold. It's now just a cold, right? But it has an enormous fan base. They don't want to see it go the way of like disco and grunge. They want to keep it going, baby. Come on. This virus has one of the largest fan bases since HIV back in the day. It's that's the widespread panic file where you go to Los Angeles, where there is a seemingly bottomless, vast, deep reservoir of panic just waiting to spring out and flood and drip and leak out and flow out and poison the Pacific Ocean right out of Los Angeles. All right. Now, I got to go. I don't know if I want to do this. This is okay. Well, I'm just going to do it. From the Just a System file, a 22-year-old man suspected of deliberately driving his SUV into a group of police cadets in Los Angeles has been released. Yeah. So nobody's sure if he did it on purpose or not. But there's a couple of guys who might die. And there's, I think, 15 guys in the hospital with horrible life-changing injury. Just horrible. And nobody's sure if this kid did it on purpose, but so they let him out. So here's the thing. If you're not sure if he did it on purpose or not, you keep him in jail until you figure it out. And they didn't. He was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder of peace officers, and he was released. And when I first read this story, I thought he was released by the district attorney, but he wasn't. Listen to this. This is how insane governance has become in Los Angeles in particular. But I mean, this goes on everywhere now. The sheriff says, under Prosecutor George Gascon, we have grave concerns about his ability to prosecute. That's according to the sheriff, Alex Villanueva. So the sheriff said, we're going to provisionally release this 22-year-old suspect until we have an ironclad case to submit to the DA. So the sheriff released him for fear of the DA. Yeah. The sheriff is afraid that unless he has an ironclad case, that Gascon will spring the kid anyways. And so a guy, a little communist pervert, who probably drove his car into a bunch of cadets because he was mad at the police, he gets out of jail. And Gascon and Villanueva sit behind in their gated community pruning their fruit trees as if everything's going to be okay. Back and we go into the big die file. Scotland has witnessed an unprecedented spike in neonatal deaths reported between September 21 and March 22. Neonatal death is defined as the death within the first 28 days of life. So a brand new baby. So listen to this. 4.9 deaths per thousand in Scotland, up from 2.1 in 2020. So that's more than double. So that is a shocking statistic that normally would rock the medical community. It would shake the system. And yet it's barely being noticed. An increase in neonatal death of 133.33%. That's when you don't panic, but you definitely start to try to figure out what's going on. What's wrong? And despite the timing of this astonishing increase in neonatal death being in accordance with the rollout of this experimental vaccine, despite all that, the investigation in Scotland is excluding the mother's vaccination status from the data set. So they're investigating, but the one thing they're not going to look at is vaccination status. Here's an article from the Herald in Scotland, a quote from the article. Public health experts ruled out any link between spikes in neonatal deaths and the COVID vaccine. Experts stress that there is no plausible link to justify investigating maternal vaccination status. Okay, so has anybody said, okay, well, why? In fact, why wouldn't we investigate every possibility since we don't know? Anyway, this is the big die. History will look back on this period as probably the most massive incidents of, at the very least, negligent homicide in history. And the largest mass death of humanity outside of a war or an epidemic in history. The big die. It's happening all around us right now. So let's go to something a little less depressing. From the Hammer Time file, we're going to check in on Paul Pelosi and the goings-on surrounding Paul the Hammer Pelosi, I think. Let's see. NBC has suspended the reporter who did the story that turns out to be true. The story that Paul Pelosi didn't declare there was an emergency, that he didn't run to the cops, that he walked back into the house, it's all true. People who've seen the body cam video say, yes, it's all true. But NBC has suspended the reporter because, quote, the report did not meet NBC News reporting standards. Reporting standards? Okay. Yeah, that's right, because he said Pelosi opened the door for the first responders, did not immediately declare an emergency or leave, but he walked several feet back in and then was allegedly struck by someone, by something. Nobody really knows. So anyway, his report, listen to how this is just the news.com. His report seems to contradict police and prosecutors' claims. Well, you could say seems to, or you could say flatly contradicts the police and the prosecutors. Outright contradiction. So normally, before whatever happened in 2020 and destroyed the world, before all that, we would have all said, well, wait a minute, somebody's lying here. We need to find out who. But now we don't. We just move on. Just hide the hammer and just keep walking. I don't know. It's just bizarre. And now we go from there into the bad religion file, where we're going to check in with some Baptists in Baton Rouge, believe it or not. Yes, the bad religion file. I know, it's sad. At the annual meeting of Louisiana Baptists, a Baton Rouge pastor basically argued I'll just let his word speak for himself. The pastor got up on the stage in front of a whole room full of Baptists, and he said, mothers involved in abortion are clearly choosing to murder their children. I do not argue against that reasoning. It's accurate. He then goes on to say, now, when the Apostle Paul, let's remember, he consented to the murder of Stephen. And then years later, reflecting on his actions, he said in 1 Timothy 1:13, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The pastor goes on to say, the pastor, would argue that these women who get abortions make decisions that they'll regret for the rest of their lives. As Christians, we all know they're killing babies, but in their hearts, they believe they're only ending a pregnancy. If Paul found mercy because he did evil in ignorance and unbelief, how can we not proclaim mercy to those who end a pregnancy in ignorance and unbelief? Okay. So I'm all for extending mercy. Don't get me wrong. I think everyone who's about to be executed for murder should be given a Bible and a preacher and a day or two, maybe three. So I'm willing to extend mercy. But I'm not exactly sure what this guy is saying. And so I don't want to put words in this because it's very wishy-washy and he doesn't really make an unequivocal statement about anything, except that I don't argue that they're murdering their children. And by the way, Mr. Baptist pastor, why do you have to focus everyone's attention on the women? Because it's typically not just the woman choosing to kill her baby. It's typically there's a man involved too. In fact, there's a man involved every time. And I would guess that the vast majority of times it's the man who wants the baby dead, not the woman. And by the way, anyone who wants to kill an innocent person should be charged with a crime. Anyone, man, woman, father, mother, doesn't matter. And while we have the authority and ability and desire to extend mercy to anyone who's committed a crime and who's about to face the consequences, because we're all sinners, right? So we can extend mercy, but we do not have the authority or the right to forgive murder. And I think that's what you're asking for, Mr. Baptist, from Baton Rouge, where I thought there were still Christians preaching from Baptists in Baptist pulpits. We don't have the right or the authority to forgive anybody for murder. Only God does. And that's why God was able to do that for Paul. And that's not even like real deep, heavy theology. So that's the difference, Mr. You call yourself a pastor? So if we as Christians know they're murdered. Okay, so if we as Christians don't combat the lies being told everywhere from the pulpit to all the social institutions to the courthouse, they're the ones lying to these women about ending a pregnancy. Well, if we don't combat those lies, who will? So, and how do we combat those lies? Well, we tell the truth. This is murder. And if it's murder, then somebody gets punished for murder. And then keep in mind, Mr. Pastor, that the mom who kills her child and the dad, the couple, and the doctor, everyone involved, if they're punished appropriately, many will repent and will receive eternal mercy. But we can't forgive it. We can't turn a blind eye, and we're the ones who are going to fight the lies. All right. And so we're getting close to the end, and we're in the end of the world file. This is from the end of the world file, live action reports. The Zone is the largest homeless encampment in one area of Phoenix. So just the way that sentence is structured, this isn't the largest homeless encampment in Phoenix. This is just the largest homeless encampment in this particular area of Phoenix. So, I mean, we're descending into Mad Max. And the governing officials are allowing this to happen in public every day. This is a crime against humanity, what's occurring. Allowing people to live this way. It can't be allowed. Why do you say that, Doug? There's just homeless people. They just choose to be homeless. You can't allow people to live openly and uncivilized with no shame. It cannot be allowed. Last week, a neighbor was watching someone in the zone, the homeless encampments. The neighbor was watching them light something on fire, and the neighbor tried to intervene. The neighbor went and was trying to put the fire out. The neighbor went to stomp the fire out and realized it was a baby on fire. He says, quote, I saw the head, a perfectly shaped head and little arms, hands, legs, chest. He turned away and he was freaked out. And so he called 911. So this can't be allowed. And the reporter at Live Action says that this was the body of a preborn child. And so it's a child. It's a brand new baby. Killed and then set on fire. As if the person who killed that baby thought that setting it on fire would somehow conceal their crime. So when you allow people to live in an open, uncivilized state with no shame and no rules and no law and no fear, and that can't be allowed. I'm sorry. But it's no surprise that we've descended into utter madness. Because if you attack and destroy the family long enough, eventually all hell breaks loose, and it's breaking. We go now to the divorce file where a Phoenix man, a father, 44-year-old Jason Hudgens, he set propane tanks around his house. There was a gas line that wasn't attached. And then he murdered his wife and their three children. And then he killed himself. His wife, 40-year-old Marla, the couple's three kids, 3-year-old Christopher and 6-month-old twins, Gwen and Faye. Hudgens was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Friends say the marriage was unhappy and she wanted to end it. And so he sets propane tanks, unhooks a gas line. Maybe he thought he could destroy the evidence. Or maybe he was thinking he could get away with it and he could live. Who knows? Who knows what's going through a person's mind when they do something like this? The deaths come. Just 2 months, according to the New York Post, the deaths come just 2 months after Marla, the wife, Marla's sister, committed suicide. Yeah, the propane tanks and the gas line. So no matter how completely he destroys all the evidence, even by fire, the truth will always be known eventually. The truth will always come out. You can't destroy the evidence. It'll almost always come out in this life. Almost always. Eventually. But for certain in the next life. And see, civilization, the underpinnings of civilization is the common knowledge that there's a God who you should be afraid of because he's going to eventually find out everything. And we've allowed enough people to descend into a state of just utter disconnectedness from that it's just getting more and more people killed, and it's just awful and horrible. And so speaking of destroying the evidence, let's go to Ukraine, where Am Greatness had a great article about the truth of Ukraine. Ukraine is the most corrupt nation in Europe. When we started sending billions of dollars there, one senator, Rand Paul, proposed that we include an inspector general. That was voted down by the criminally insane gang of sex perverts who seized the government. And now a CBS report has revealed, before it was censored, revealed that due to theft and corruption, only about 30% of the billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of weapons and armaments that America has been sending actually reach the Ukrainian front lines wherever they are. Criminal gangs across Europe are already trafficking in the arms, on the black market. And they go on to point out that Ukraine has already lost the war. So now I want to come back to that. But let me finish here. They say soon, the author at Am Greatness says soon Russia is going to deploy 300,000 reservists along with 70,000 new volunteers. The recent withdrawals in Kharkov and Kherson that have been, that you've all been hearing about on the TV, and that the Russians are fleeing in utter defeat. They've been hyped up as Russian defeats. These are tactical realignments designed to minimize casualties because the Russians have been outnumbered, by the way, since the latest escalation in the war. And here's the concluding sentence. Unless Joe Biden and NATO launch World War III with a direct military intervention, the remnants of the Ukrainian army will be destroyed by spring or summer. And so that's where I come back to the author's line, Ukraine has already lost the war. So I believe that there's a strong possibility that NATO will launch a direct intervention, but we simply will not be allowed to call it World War III, or we will not be allowed to say that NATO is fighting Russia. We just won't be allowed to, because they can do that now. They can censor us like that. And they think they can write history. And it seems to me like somebody has an awful lot to hide in Ukraine. And unless they burn and destroy every square inch of that place and satisfactorily obliterate whatever evidence somebody's trying to hide there, that NATO's just not going to stop. And if that means a direct intervention, if that means nuclear war, it seems like they're ready for that. So I don't know what's being covered up in Ukraine, but it must be pretty big. I mean, for a bunch of people who think it's okay to invite kids to a drag queen story hour, what could you possibly be hiding in Ukraine that's so horrible that you have to blow the whole place up? All right. Now, finally, let's close with the Just a System file, where Target Stores executives have revealed that organized retail theft contributed to a $400 million decrease in gross margins. A half a billion dollars, nearly, being stolen through organized retail theft. Their profits fell 50% in the third fiscal quarter. More than 80% of retailers in a recent survey said that violence and aggression associated with organized retail crime increased in the past year. There's a survey by the National Retail Federation. They also found that 90% said that the pandemic worsened the risk. Yes, through higher shoplifting and employee theft and organized crime. Yeah, that's right. So it wasn't the pandemic that did all that. It was the hysterical, crazy pandemic response. It turns out if you dress up everybody like a masked bandit, that they steal more. Shocking. Anyway, retailers are spending heavily on new security measures or just closing locations in dangerous cities, which is more and more everywhere. Interest groups such as the National Retail Federation, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, have rallied industry leaders to back multiple laws that would increase federal resources devoted to... Call up Mitch McConnell. He can call him. Bring it right along. Mr. Biden, we can work together on this. More laws to mask the failed Just a System. That's it. So, folks, a free market, absent the fear of God, cannot long exist. And that's what's happening to the market. The fear of God, by the way, is enforced by the justice system. You don't let kids who drove their car into a crowd of people out of jail before you know what happened. You don't let a guy who threatened to blow up his neighborhood and basically kidnapped everyone within a block of his house, you don't let him live to go on and kill more people. You don't allow organized gangs to mask up and rob stores or rob the treasury, like that organized gang masked up in the Capitol for the last 2 years. All right, that's it, folks. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio And until next time, may the grace of God be with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.